Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
We now bring in from the Reading Eagle, the outstanding Rich Scarcella. My friend, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. How are you? How was your trip?
How was the trip? Let's see. Supposed to have left at 6:30. The plane got delayed several times. I walked in the hotel at 10.
Oh, boy.
It took a little while to get here. But it's all right. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all part of traveling. Yeah, it's all part of travel. You get used to it after a while. All right, so two teams went toe-to-toe out there for 3.5 hours on Saturday in the center of the ring. What were your thoughts watching it?
Well, I kind of think the thing that really sticks out like a sore thumb, Sean Clifford getting sacked 7 times, and I don't know how many other times he was knocked to the ground, and I felt sorry for him, and you know, he didn't he wasn't available for post game interviews, and I'm sure it was because he was receiving treatment, and that stuck out to me more than anything, how much trouble the Penn State offensive line had with two really good defensive ends from Michigan, Aiden Hutchinson and David Ajabo, which you know, everybody had talked about last week. And the other one everybody was talking about is the fake field goal attempt in the first quarter. I know it's early and everything, but I still don't understand why that decision was made.
Right. Let's get to the part about negative plays, because there were 12 tackles for losses among those, and 7 of those happened to be sacks. That's 14% of your plays. You ran 86 of them along the way. So what does that do to an offense that, you know, they end up scoring 17 points, so you're looking for more, obviously, in a game like this. Putting them behind schedule that often.
Oh, it handicaps the offense. It handicaps the play calling. It doesn't give the lack of protection doesn't give Sean Clifford time to look downfield to Jahan Dotson or whoever else. You know, Penn State, I think, had only 3 explosive plays, meaning 20 yards or longer. It means everything that you can. The other thing is Michigan knows that you struggle to run the football. They're pinning their ears back and coming after Sean. And so, yeah, it means everything. And you know, they're on their way. I still can't believe this. They're 119th in the country in rushing, and they're on their way right now on track to the second worst rushing average in school history, and the worst was in 2014.
All right, so let's get to that running game part of it. On Saturday, Kevon Lee had 17 carries for 88. So what did you think of him and the marriage between how he's running and the offensive line he has?
I think he's making he's the most effective runner. He doesn't have breakaway speed, but he found a way to gain yards, and I'm surprised it took the 10th game of the season to make him the number one running back, because I think he's been the most productive running back for a while now, for several weeks. And I think he did a really good job, and honestly, I don't understand at the end of the game when you had a 3rd and 2 on your last possession, why not give the ball to him twice instead of throwing 2 passes? But that's another story. It's because you're worried about them stacking the line or whatever. But I think Kevon Lee is a very good back, and I think he made the most out of what he had.
There's obviously a precision that has to happen during the course of a game. So, you know, there's a drop ball and a wheel route that probably could have been a touchdown, to be honest with you. You've got a 3rd down play where Haskins and the player attempts to body block him to the ground instead of tackling him. I mean, you get into these big games, the players have to understand the precision of every single play. How tough is it when that happens and you have to then overcome a lack of precision by a player?
Well, there's a lot. It's not just the lack of precision. I mean, it's the drop passes, and I should have mentioned them earlier because Sean Clifford, I know, he took a physical beating, and heard whispers, people criticizing him, but there are a lot of drop passes. So yeah, if you're not, you've got to make every catch possible. You're in Division I college football, big time college football, and if a ball hits both your hands, you've got to catch it. I'm sorry. And that's the way I feel. And defensively, I'm with you, Steve. That was a big play that you're talking about when Haskins caught that screen. And, and it was, I think, 3rd and 13?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, 3rd and 13. That was a huge play. And Michigan went on to score on that drive. And there was an offside penalty, too, on one of the down linemen on that series. But, yeah, you can't afford mistakes when you're playing the number 6 or whatever, number 8, number 9 team in the country who has one loss and a division rival. And you know it's going to be a tough, low-scoring game, and precision is everything. And I don't think there was anything precise about Penn State from the top down on Saturday. I don't. There were a lot of mistakes made.
Yet in the fourth quarter, they're down 14-6. What kind of guts did they show in that sequence where they were able to get the 11 unanswered and go in front?
Yeah, Sean, I thought, showed me a lot converting those fourth downs on that drive. The receivers showed me a lot. I thought both passes to Tyler Warren for the touchdown and to Jahan Dotson for the conversion were outstanding. And outstanding throws and catches, by the way. And, for them to be, climbing, being behind all game practically, or at least for most of the game, and to come back and tie it. And then the defense, which, I do have trouble really knocking the defense, but the defense makes a big, big play. You get the turnover, you have a first down at the 16, and you're thinking, boy, a touchdown really puts Michigan, in a bad way, and you're forced to kick a field goal. And really, let's be honest, that was another reason, another sequence where Penn State had a chance to keep the game alive or at least win the game, and the offense couldn't get 16 yards.
Yeah, see, that was one where they get the big break. I mean, Evan Cady gets the big strip.
Tremendous Ellis
Brooks recovers it. Yeah. Great play all the way through. And you get three, so Jack Hamm and I are looking at it. All right, they got the lead. But at the same time, the two of us conceded right away. But, man, they needed 7 there. You just felt like you needed it.
Oh, you absolutely needed 7 there. You have to – I mean, it's not like you got the fumble at the 40 or the 45-yard line. You were at the 16-yard line. And I'd have to look – and, again, I don't want to – you're in the heat of the moment. But I saw the first down play where Lee was the pitch man – And Clifford faked it to him, and Clifford took it up. I think if he pitched it to him, I'm not saying he would have scored, but it looked like he would have gotten inside the 5 for sure. And maybe that makes everything different. And again, that's a split second decision. I'm not, things happen in a game. It's really hard to criticize Sean there. But and then 2 incomplete passes, and you have to kick the field goal. And you put the game then. Again, the defense has been up against it all year long. The defense goes on the field with the lead, and Michigan drives down the field, and, you and I know what happened. It's a crossing pattern. Eric Hall catches it at the line of scrimmage. Kalen King runs into Daquan Hardy, and he scores. It was just it was a really fluky play. It was a good call by Michigan, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And maybe it gets the first down, but it certainly wouldn't have gotten a touchdown.
I'm with you on Clifford. It's hard. To me, it's hard to be critical of a guy that plays with that kind of guts in the game. I mean, it doesn't mean he's mistake free. I'm not saying that, but man,
true.
But the other part that comes to mind to me right away is I see a guy playing with that kind of guts. That's the kind of guy you want out there leading you.
Yeah, I can't imagine how he felt Sunday morning and this morning, climbing out of bed after how many times he was hit on Saturday, and hit hard. Not these weren't glancing blows and just pushed to the ground. He was knocked to the ground. He has shown me a lot this year in terms of mental and physical toughness.
All right, so now you got Senior Day coming up. How tough is it for a team where, you know, you work, you battle. I talked about 3.5 hours, center of the ring, the whole thing, and you don't get the validation out of it. What does it take to bounce back from games like this that are that hard fought and that close?
Yeah, Steve, I'm with you. It's really going to be tough. I mean, maybe it's you got to find motivation somewhere, and maybe it's playing for the seniors, and you know you don't know who's going, who's staying, and who's going either. Or maybe they do inside the locker room, but we don't publicly. But you got to play for the seniors. I mean, that's really all it's about, and play for yourselves. And hey, this is my last. The seniors got to think, hey, this is my last game at Beaver Stadium. And you got to go out and play as hard as you can, and you know, but it's got to be tough. You know, this season looks so promising at 5-0, and now they're sitting here at 6-4, and you know, you really got to dig down deep, and really, it's a pride thing. I think you know, you got to play not only your team pride, but your yourself, the pride in yourself, and your ability, and that's what you got to really count on this week, I think.
Rich, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate you very much. You know that.
Steve, thank you very much.